Don't you judge me. Does the Bible say you're not supposed to judge? Does it? Let's find out if that's actually what the Bible says.
Scripture is not discerned by opinion. You cannot rightly apply the Bible until you first rightly divide the Bible. We do not get to decide what the Bible means. We get to discover what the Bible means.
Welcome to Rightly Dividing with Ron Anderson. Thank you for joining me. This episode is another in the series, This Doesn't Mean That, where we take a look at some Bible verses that are often taken out of context. This one is taken out of context by believers and non-believers alike. Judge not that you be not judged. Perhaps you've heard, don't judge me, you can't judge me. Doesn't the Bible say that Christians aren't supposed to judge? Now, one of the things that I like to do when that conversation starts is ask them, do they know where it's found? But I try to do that in a way that is not condescending or putting them on the spot, but rather opening up the door that we can turn to God's Word, the authority itself, rather than our opinions opposing one another. Turn to the Word and see where that passage is and read it within its context. Now, I'm going to read verses 1 through 5, make some comments, and then I'm going to refer to some other verses in the Bible that deal with judging, accountability, discernment, those kinds of things. So Matthew 7, this account is also in Luke, the Gospel of Luke chapter 6, Matthew 7, 1 through 5. Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So even reading the paragraph that this verse is found in, that verse 1 is found in, even reading through the paragraph, when we get to verse 5, we're instructed to first remove the plank from our own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So even before we go anywhere else in Scripture to see if there's any other verses that deal with different aspects of judging, discernment, accountability, within the text itself, if we follow the context, we see that it isn't an absolute admonition or forbidding of any kind of judgment. But it's not to be a hypocritical judgment where there is a lack of self-examination on, say, my own part before I speak to someone else. So the entire context that this is found in is the Sermon on the Mount. This is the latter portion of the Sermon on the Mount, which begins in chapter 5 in verse 1, and it goes all the way through chapter 7. And it begins with the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, and on down through the Beatitudes. And between 5, 6, and 7, chapters 5, 6, and 7, there are no less than 21 different topics or subjects that Jesus touches on. Some of them have the connection to one another. Some, it seems that he just moves from one topic to another in the text. Now, what we're focusing on now in this study, in this episode, is the judge not that you be not judged, which is verse 1 of chapter 7. So it's moving towards the end, the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. Are there other verses in this passage? Are there other verses in chapter 7 that give us a broader understanding of, or a clearer understanding of, judge not that you be not judged? Well, first we saw in verse 5, first remove the plank out of your own eye. By the way, the word that is used here literally means the beam, a beam that you would use to build a ship or a house, a floor beam, versus a speck. That word was used sometimes to refer to like the chaff that's on grain when you're separating the grain from the chaff. So there's a tremendous difference there. It's quite a hyperbole that Jesus is using there. In fact, some commentators believe that Jesus was inserting a little biting humor into that to grab people's attention. They would get that. They would catch the significant difference between those two things. So we have that in verse 5. So, oh, we are supposed to, but there's a condition to the judging that is here. We'll work that out. We'll flesh that out a little bit more as we move along. In verse 6, it says, "Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces." So it seems there's an insinuation of some sort of discerning judgment that's there of when and to whom we share biblical truth. By and large, the world, the unsaved, rejects it. That's casting pearls before the lost, okay? On down in the same chapter, in verse 15, it says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits." Well, without using the word judge in there, it seems to be a part of the thought process there. If I know them by their fruits, I'm judging the fruits, determining who is a false prophet and a true prophet. There is judgment. There is discerning judgment. The judgment spoken of in verse 1 that is forbidden is hypocritical judgment or condemning judgment, coming with an air of superiority, not authority in a sense, but superiority over somebody else. That's the judgment that's mentioned there that's forbidden in verse 1. But as we go down further in verse 5, we're supposed to self-examine before we go to someone else. In verse 15, we're to use discernment, discerning judgment in who is a false prophet and a true prophet. So even in the chapter itself, before we look anywhere else in Scripture, we're seeing that we are supposed to judge in certain situations, and there is conditional, so to speak, judgment that we're to use. Now, there are some other verses of Scripture that I want to refer to. One is John 7:24. Jesus, speaking also in the Gospel of John, says, "Stop judging according to outward appearances. Rather, judge according to righteous judgment." So here we have, there's a righteous judgment, and he's speaking to people, telling them, use righteous judgment. Romans 16:17. "Now I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause dissensions and obstacles contrary to the doctrine you have learned, and avoid them." Well, without using the word specifically, judgment, it seems to be that there's at least some discerning judgment that is used here, or we're instructed to use in Romans 16:17. So, Galatians 6:1. "Brothers, if someone is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual should restore such a person with a gentle spirit, watching out for yourselves so you also won't be tempted." In some ways, I think this is almost like Matthew 7:1-5, where we are careful when we approach someone caught in a wrongdoing, that we are going in grace, mercy, love, and the truth of God's word, and not our own preference, not our own perception. 1 Timothy 5:20, "Publicly rebuke those who sin, so that the rest will also be afraid." Seems like there is a discerning or an accountability type of judgment that is here. Now, the word judgment is not used here. But just because the word isn't used doesn't mean that we can't draw out the truth of it and say, this is a discerning judgment here. This is what's being called for. This is what the instruction is. James 5, verses 19 and 20. "My brother, if any among you strays from the truth and someone turns him back." Well, somebody must be making a judgment based upon the truth and somebody's lifestyle or choices. And they must be going and speaking to them about it, because it's saying here, if you turn them back, "Let him know that whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his life from death and cover a multitude of sins." 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. But now I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who claims to be a believer who is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater, or verbally abusive, a drunkard, or a swindler. Seems to be there needs to be some sort of discerning judgment in evaluation of those things. Do not even eat with such a person. Now, this episode, we don't have the time to delve into what is that referring to. That has to do with fellowship meal within the church and based around church membership and that kind of thing, and not just a social get-together of eating a meal or family getting together for a meal. We'll consider that in a future episode of This Doesn't Mean That. For what business is it of mine to judge outsiders? Don't you judge those who are inside? That's a rhetorical question. Paul's telling the Corinthians, we judge those who are inside. And it's accountability in love. But God judges the outsiders. God's going to judge the world and the lost. Put away the evil person from among yourselves. Seems to be there is some sort of judgment there. I want to share just a few other verses dealing with the same subject. Matthew 18, 15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. Seems to be some sort of discerning judgment there. 1 Timothy 5, 20. As for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all so that the rest may stand in fear. Luke 17, 3. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. James 5, 19 to 20. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, we just talked about that, and brings him back, let him know that whoever brings it back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. And then also 2 Timothy 4, 2, preach the word, be in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Reproving and rebuking necessitates the act of judging, discerning judging, or judgment, accountability judgment. Titus 3:10, as for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him. Now, one of the other verses that I want to refer to here and spend a little bit of time kind of dissecting somewhat is in 1 Corinthians. Before I go there, 2 Thessalonians 3, 14 and 15 says, if anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person. Well, that's a discerning judgment or an accountability judgment. And have nothing to do with them, that they may be ashamed. Do not regard them as an enemy, but warn them as a brother. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Both the letters to Corinthians, the 1st and 2nd Corinthians, there is a lot of discipline and chastening that's going on there. There's some commendable things, but there's a lot of things that have gotten out of order that Paul is addressing. And one of them is immorality ongoing in the church. It was left unaddressed, unjudged. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1, beginning of verse 1, we read this. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that is not tolerated even among pagans. For a man has his father's wife, and you are arrogant. Ought you not rather to mourn? You are arrogant. And what he's referring to is everybody knows it. They're just not addressing it. They're not dealing with it. You know what they were? They were tolerant. We're tolerant. Tolerance is not an act of Christian love. Let him who has done this be removed from among you. For though absent in body, I am present in spirit, and as if I am present, I have already pronounced judgment on the one who did such a thing. But wait a minute, Paul. Jesus spoke from in Matthew on the Sermon on the Mount, judge not. But there's a context for that. And that judge not command in Matthew 7:1 is not a universal, unilateral forbidding of any type of judging. I have already pronounced judgment on such a thing. When you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present with the power of the Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord. It's an act of love to redeem this person from the consequences of sin, but it calls for judgment. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Tolerating sin in the church, tolerating sin, known active sin is not love. Biblical discernment, accountability, judgment is. I want to share just a couple of comments here before we wrap up this episode from some commentaries. This is from a word study concerning the judging. It does not, however, mean that we should not properly exercise the grace of discernment and proper evaluation of people. How would we know not to give that which is holy to those who are like dogs if we did not evaluate them properly in the first place? Or how would we guard ourselves against false prophets or false disciples if we were not using some sort of judgment, some discerning judgment? Our judgment of others must never be for the purpose of self-exaltation or out of a Pharisaic attitude where we are better or more spiritual than somebody else, but out of love and humility. A close look at these verses will show that he is referring to hypocritical judging. And he went on to say, that is, Jesus went on to say, that when a hypocrite cleans up his own life, then he will be fit to judge another. So there is a condition to this admonition. In John 7:24, as I mentioned earlier, Jesus said, stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment, or judgment in righteousness. Keith Throop says, many people misuse this verse in order to avoid being criticized or confronted with sin. In fact, I've heard not only believers but also unbelievers say things like, Christians aren't supposed to judge, are they? This is usually thought to pretty much end the argument whenever any judgment is made about a person's views or behavior. In fact, many seem to think that this advocates a universal acceptance of any viewpoint of any lifestyle that a person chooses. But when Jesus gave this command, he never intended us to suspend all of our critical faculties or to never make value judgments about the views or actions of others. And those who take it that way are just plain wrong. Grant Osborne, it cannot be referring to discerning or evaluating right or wrong in one's own life or in the life of another believer. All such are valid for believers. So what does this judgmental attitude connote? It means looking down with an air of superiority on another person, criticizing with a condemnation with a lack of loving concern. And then finally, from Dr. Thomas Feigert, a commentary on Matthew. The judging in Matthew 7, 1 through 2, in Matthew 7, 1, which should not be practiced, must refer to harsh, self-righteous criticism, which was practiced by the Pharisees, and which is really a major burden of Matthew 5 through 7, is addressing a lot of the Pharisaical attitudes. And then also this sentence here. It would seem more likely then that Christ is telling his true disciples not to act toward one another, or even towards unbelievers as well, like the Pharisees did, because it just might backfire on you. So Matthew 7, 1, judge not that you be not judged, is not a complete, universal, unilateral forbidding of any kind of judging. It is forbidding hypocritical judgment, Pharisaical judgment. We are, as believers, to use discerning judgment, accountability judgment, in different aspects of life and with relationships that we have with fellow believers. Within churches, there is to be accountability judgment. Within relationships, one of the most important aspects of my spiritual walk, my spiritual journey walking with the Lord, is having people who speak into my life, in a sense, in judgment, judging aspects, call to question certain areas of my life, call to question certain decisions, or maybe the way that I'm thinking, or something they observe in my life. They're using judgment out of loving concern. That kind of judgment is biblical judgment. We are to use discerning and accountability judgment in love. First of all, our love for the Lord. Secondly, our love for fellow believers and for the church. So, don't judge. Christians aren't supposed to judge. This verse doesn't mean that. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Rightly Dividing with Ron Anderson. I encourage you to stop back in for the next episode. If you have any questions that you'd like to send to me, Bible questions, anything like that, you can email me at rightlydividingtheword215@gmail.com or leave comments down in the comments section. And I encourage you to like, share, subscribe, hit the notification bell. And thank you for joining me on this episode. Looking forward to seeing you again on the next episode of Rightly Dividing with Ron Anderson. Thank you. God bless.